In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Gerard Majella is the patron saint of women in labor and unborn children. In Italy, they call him the saint of happy births. Saint Gerard Majella was an outstanding man. He was a brother, not a priest, of the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, known as the Redemptoris, founded by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Despite not having studied, his infused science given by God amazed the theologians who consulted him on difficult theological issues. The miracles that God did through his intercession left everyone amazed at the wonders they saw before their eyes. When he went to ask for alms for the house where he lived, everyone helped him, and on his part, he blessed them with miracles, especially healing the sick. Saint Gerard Majella had a special love for the poor and sick, and in times of shortage, he gave everyone something, even working miracles, increasing food so that it was enough for everyone. In a word, God glorified himself in the life of Saint Gerard Majella, and we feel proud to have a brother like him in heaven. Let us think that the saints are not exclusive to a particular region or congregation. They belong to everyone and are for everyone. They are universal people whose love and help extend to the entire world for the good of all who call on them with faith. The sacristan of the Cathedral of Muro Lucano was a relative of Saint Gerard Majella and lent him the key. He would go very early in the morning to pray in front of the tabernacle. Opening the door, the servant of God saw a terrible dog that wanted to bite him, barking loudly. Another day, he was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, and one of the two wooden images of an angel that were on the sides of the tabernacle fell and hit his arm. Then he realized that the demon wanted to frighten him with this and disturb him in his prayer. On one occasion, a hermit died abandoned, and his soul, unfortunately, had been dead for many years due to vices badly concealed under his hermit's habits. The servant of God charitably took him into the convent, and they all worked, but above all, Saint Gerard Majella, to see if they could restore him to health. But they soon saw that this was hopeless. Then, his charitable nurse, becoming an apostle, dedicated himself with all zeal to see if he could heal his soul before this person appeared before the divine judge, which would not take long. He exhausted all the resources of his zeal. He was exhausted with the ambition to win that soul which was hanging over the abyss. But he did not achieve more with the soul than with the body. It was a hopeless case, and desperate, the poor hermit died. When after his death, Saint Gerard Majella was commending the soul of that sinner to God, the hermit appeared to him to reveal that he was in hell. The horror of that vision of the hermit did not fade throughout his entire life. In the humble cell where Saint Gerard Majella enjoyed heavenly delights in his poverty, in his penance, and in the ecstasies of his prayer, the demons appeared threatening him, ready to go as far as the arm of God would let them, for their pleasure, to the point of taking his life. The demons appeared to the servant of God repeatedly at night, while he rested in that bed which was so little on purpose, so that no temptation of sensuality or laziness could prosper. They pounced on his bed with terrible apparitions of frantic figures in their movements, in their howls, and in their threats. It seemed that everything was going to reduce him to dust. The demons told Saint Gerard Majella, You don't want to stop your work of snatching our souls, but neither will we stop until we have had our fill of tormenting you, and until we manage to tear your life away. The defense of the brave fighter was the sign of the cross and holy water, fighting weapons that he had surely learned from his great advocate, Saint Teresa of Avila, also known as Saint Teresa of Jesus, who was a woman, and with them she won like any man. The demons did not always attack the servant of God inside his cell, where the stone mattress was surrounded by skulls. Sometimes they assaulted him while he was in the kitchen, threatening to put him in the stove so that he would burn like a log. Other times, according to the testimony of his confessors, collected by the witness priest, they dragged him through the corridors of the convent and mistreated him in such a way that they apparently left him half dead. When he was assaulted the most, it was on Friday nights, in which the Lord gave him participation in the pains of his passion. Brother Saint Gerard Majella looked at these evil spirits without fear, because he knew that he would always defeat them by invoking the names of Jesus and Mary, with holy water and with the sign of the cross, accompanied by the invocation of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He spoke to the demons with certainty of their powerlessness and his victory. "You can bark," he told them, "but you cannot bite, because I have Jesus Christ and Mother Mary with me." His dominance over the enemy of souls, when the demon made his appearance in a visible form, was so absolute that he defeated him just as much when the demon attacked him directly as when the servant of God found him inside of someone who was possessed. Saint Gerard Majella threw out many demons with a sharp order in the name of the Holy Trinity. Such was the case of a possessed person, whom the devil did not want to abandon despite all the exorcisms. The servant of God put his belt on him, and that was enough for the devil to leave the body of the possessed person. In front of Saint Gerard Majella, there was no way to hide. In whatever form the devil presented himself, the servant of God discovered the spirit of darkness. One Sunday, he saw two boys approaching the door of the convent, whose origin no one knew. He recognized them immediately, and addressing them, said without further introduction, "What are you doing here? This is not your place. In the name of God, go back to hell." The strangers disappeared immediately, without being able to find out what motives had led them to the convent gate. But the fact is beyond doubt, because various religious of the community testified about it. In the month of March of the year 1752, a bishop witness expressed his desire to meet Saint Gerard Majella. A witness priest told him that the servant of God was so obedient that a single wish from the superior was enough for him, even without leaving the depths of his mind, to fulfill it as an express order. The internal mandate, through a method of telecommunication that will always escape the reach of science, immediately reached Saint Gerard Majella, and the obedient brother immediately went to ask the priest for a blessing to leave, informing him that the Father Superior was calling him from the Episcopal Palace of Melfi. When he appeared at the palace, the superior, disguising himself as best he could, asked him, "But brother, what brings you here?" "Your reverence's command." "My mandate? But if I have not sent any letter or any notice?" "Yes, but you gave it to me in front of the Monsignor, who wants to see me." "Mr. Bishop, what do you want to see? A worm of the earth, a sinner, a miserable one who needs all the mercy of God so as not to get lost. The Monsignor had already heard about the holiness and wonders of St. Gerard Majella. The Superior allowed the servant of God to stay a few days with the Bishop of Melfi. The period that the Superior had set for St. Gerard Majella to stay in Melfi with the bishop passed more quickly than the Monsignor would have liked. He struggled to keep him a few more days, but his desires were useless. As soon as the appointed day arrived, there were no arguments or pleas, some as reasonable as the bad weather they were having that afternoon, and the danger of losing his way because of the thick fog, and that the night would surprise him out in the open. St. Gerard Majella saddled the horse, and despite the rain and fog, said a reverent farewell to the bishop, and headed to his beloved solitude of Deliseto. But what was feared happened to the servant of God, although he was well acquainted with the roads, and it never occurred to him to travel alone through the wilderness of fields and forests. That day, he believed, was the last of his life. He lost his way because of the thick fog, and to make matters worse, the Ofanto River with the rains had overflowed, and there came a time when he did not know which way to go, because he did not know where the roads were and where the river was. The place where he was, among forests, cliffs, and flooded areas, was most terrifying for a traveler who, furthermore, to finish blackening the painting, saw that one of those sinister nights was falling, in which darkness thickens as if it took bodily form. It was already enough what was pointed out to make any walker shudder. But St. Gerard Majella expected something more and worse. He was waiting for him, as if crouched in the thicket and in the shadows, waiting for the critical moment, the devil himself. The devil appeared before him with terrible words of threat, reaching for the horse's bridle to stop him from walking. The devil vented all the rage that he had repressed against one of his greatest enemies, over whom he no longer expected to be able to achieve anything by any means, because he had tried them all, and he had not even achieved the victory of a sin. The devil decided to take advantage of this occasion to tempt St. Gerard Majella, in the middle of the terror of that truly hellish night, or at least, if God allowed him freedom, to take St. Gerard Majella's life. "The time has come," the devil told the servant of God, savoring his revenge. "I have you at my disposal, and I will do with you what I want." St. Gerard Majella understood who was in front of him. The servant of God had fought with him toe to toe more than once, so the servant of God knew the devil's ways to fight. He did not lose his composure for a moment. He withdrew inside himself and entrusted himself, as he used to do on those occasions, to the sovereign power of the Holy Trinity, from which came the inspiration for a daring project. Intimidate the devil, in the name of the Holy Trinity, to take the horse's bridle and serve as a guide in that swamp to get him out safely, and take him safely to a commune in the province of Avellino, where he would spend the night at the house of some friends. "In the name of the Holy Trinity, go ahead," cried the sure voice of the lost knight, "to Lacedonia." The devil, chewing his defeat and unable to avoid fulfilling his task, headed for Lacedonia, where they arrived without incident approximately before midnight. A witness says that at the entrance to the city, when they arrived at a chapel, it was the moment when the devil let go of the horse's reins and disappeared, with St. Gerard Majella heading alone to the house of the friends he was looking for, who were notable benefactors of the congregation. Seeing himself free, St. Gerard Majella sang victory. They had waded across the entire Ofanto River, he and the horse, directed by the devil, and thanks to his good services, they did not perish in its waters, since it is well known that when the Ofanto River is in those critical moments, there is no one who dares to tempt its anger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.